Hello everybody, it's me Roscoe, and welcome to another Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast sponsored by Manscaped. And it's a weird feeling this morning recording this, as Town have lost a game. Their fifth defeat of the season in 37, which is pretty impressive from Ipswich Town. And I'm here with AJ and Stu to give you a breakdown, a post-mortem of such, on the late drama at Cardiff City. Town, obviously, have been inflicting that on other teams. This time, Town conceded two late goals. And yeah, Cardiff City, they were known for their set pieces and they scored those set pieces. And we're going to talk about that. Let's bring in the boys who will be in South Wales. Stu, AJ, come in. Start with you, Stu. How are you? And yeah, a defeat in South Wales.
I'm fine, thank you, Ross. I like your immediate positive spin on that. Pretty impressive from Town. We've got that in early doors. That's good. We're going to keep the mood upbeat today. How am I feeling about it? Let's quote our old friend Sir Ralph Ramsey. I feel fine.
I like it. I like it. Good old Sir Ralph Ramsey. AJ, bring you in, my friends. Although one negative, I'm going to start that straight away. I didn't have a Welsh cake. Swansea, I've got treated to two Welsh cakes. In Cardiff, there was no Welsh cake to be seen. So poor from Cardiff there. But yeah, AJ, how are you?
Yeah, a bit of a shame that. I got to meet up with some Welsh family. Unsurprisingly, the person called Alex Jones does have some Welsh family. So that was a nice Friday night before everything slightly nosedived early on Saturday. And then probably the worst part of it was trying to get back from Cardiff in the evening with all the train cancellations back to Cambridge. But other than that, fine, enjoying my seat on the big dog chair, as you like to say. And yeah, ready to put hopefully a slightly more positive spin, having had a little bit of time to reflect on what happened in stoppage time on Saturday.
Yeah, I think we've had time to reflect. I think everyone's had a nice Sunday to maybe look back and watch the highlights and go, okay, that wasn't great. But with Town, their first defeat in seven games, boys, which is, once again, you know, they were trying to hopefully become them history makers, but unfortunately not. Where do you want to start, boys? As we said, it's just a weird feeling. First defeat in seven games, as I said. We knew Cardiff were in a form team going into this one. Opening thoughts, Stu?
Opening thoughts. Would have been fortunate to get the win, despite the fact that they were 1-0 up going into stoppage time. It wasn't a vintage display from Ipswich at all. Just deflation, wasn't it, at the final whistle, really? When you lose a game in that way, it hurts, it stings, it takes a while to process. You're still processing it a little bit now, but it's gone plenty of times Ipswich's way this season, hasn't it? And if we're going to take the joy from those moments, I guess the law of averages means it's going to happen to you at some stage. And look, we'll come on to the stoppage time, which is the main part of the conversation around this game in a bit. And ultimately, you can pick the bones out of it. You can find little faults and flaws throughout. But I think ultimately just a run of games and the mental and physical efforts that have gone into these matches of late, maybe just caught up on them a little bit at the death on Saturday. There's some mitigating factors, and ultimately Cardiff are the kind of style of opposition that Ipswich do kind of find is their Achilles heel. So it's a shame because, you know, we were only minutes away from this being a very different tone of conversation about another thoroughly professional dig it out away win. But this one wasn't to be.
Yeah, I think we'll play a clip with McKenna. He sort of mentioned that, like, he would just been happy with that 1-0 win. Professional performance, job done. And have a good away performance, but not the case. Obviously, we'll get into. But yeah, AJ, I want to quickly sort of start off with the changes and also your opening thoughts. Town, of course, made three changes from that 3-2 late show against Bristol City. Harry Clark, Wes Burns, Sarmiento comes in for Twanzabi, Hutchison and Harness. Broadhead was back on the bench as well, which was good to see. And of course, came off the bench as well. Yeah, thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think the team was roughly what we expected. I think of the three, you could definitely see two of them being near certs of happening going into the game. Harry Clark offering a little bit more threat out wide against a Cardiff side who, at least in previous games, have struggled in terms of tracking back. Been some criticisms of that. So having that extra threat on the flanks, I think, was important. And then in kind of the same breath as that, Wes Burns, we all saw what he did off the bench against Bristol City in his incredible form, really, in the last few weeks. Thinking back to the Rotherham game, for example, things like that, he's really been on it. Jeremy Sarmiento was maybe the one that raised a few more eyebrows. Again, you can kind of see why it's been done. If Nathan Broadhead, you'd assume, probably wasn't fit to play from the start. And if he was, then he's someone that you're having to bring off early, even if he's on a good run. It's not really what you want. You've then got Marcus Harness, who played in midweek. I wouldn't necessarily say was wonderful in that game. So I can understand the change there. You have maybe Ali Alhamadi, who could have come in. But overall, looking at it, it was probably a team that we were all happy with going into the game. And it was a team that seemed quite well equipped to deal with that kind of solid away performance that you want to see in terms of keeping it quite tight, keeping it with a strong defensive shape. And kind of quite early on, you could see that Cardiff were posing a little bit more threat than Town had faced in some of the other games on the road, for example, like the Plymouth one. Cardiff were really trying to play on the front foot from the start.
And Stu, there was some early signs from Cardiff, warning signs for Town, because they had a few chances, didn't they, Cardiff, in that opening 10 minutes. I think Vaz had to make a save off the line as well. Where were you at when that was going on? Like, of course, you were doing your blog and all that, but you must have been, what the hell was going on, Town?
Yeah, Cardiff were on the front foot from the start. It was an incredibly open game of football in those first 10 minutes or so. Yeah, Vaz makes a save that you'd expect him to make from a swerving Turnbull shot from 25 yards or so out. And then from the resulting corner, we talked a lot about the set-piece specialists, Cardiff, going into this game. No team had scored more than them going into this match. I think half of their goals had come from set-pieces, still have come from set-pieces, as we'll come on to. Flicks off the head of Burgess, a nice controlled volley at the back post from Bowler, and Perry NG has to score, doesn't he? He kind of slashes at it as a bit of a fullback's rushed finish, just didn't make a good enough connection, and that allowed Kiefer Moore to sort of clear off the line. That was 5 minutes in, and Town were under the cosh in those early stages, but did manage to come through it unscathed. Talked a lot, didn't we, at various stages of this season about conceding early in matches, but came through it. Got past that 15-minute mark, which was the sort of the moment that we talked about a lot of goals coming inside 15 minutes. Once they get to that, we then get a familiar sight of Connor Chaplin sitting down on the deck in the centre circle, and what increasingly we have to say is looking like a bit of a tactical move from Ipswich Town. When first halves aren't going their way, we get a little sort of mini half-time team talk halfway through the first half where a player goes down. We saw it first time at Millwall, when Amari Hutchinson went down and Kieran McKenna got his players in, and Ipswich were able to turn the tide from there. I think it happened with Connor Chaplin at Plymouth, and it happened again here with Connor Chaplin as well. And you have to say, from there, Ipswich did start to get a bit more of a foothold. They played with a bit more composure and control. And while that first half was far from a classic, once Ipswich got into half-time at 0-0, as has been the case in several games recently, you have to say that you always feel that Ipswich, with their fitness levels, with their strength on the bench, with this never stay die spirit that they've got, quietly confident that they could go on and be the team that nicked it.
Yeah, and that stoppage was in the 18th minute, so maybe the perfect time to do it. And AJ, overall thoughts on that first half, the fourth successive 0-0 at half time. So obviously we've got a lot of goals in Town games, but first half at the moment, just go for an early beer, maybe go to concourse, get an early beer, because probably not going to miss much. But did we miss anything from that first half? There's not many other things. I know there was a moment actually before that tactical break. Remember Kiefer Moore's little flick, which was very impressive indeed. I haven't been able to watch it back actually, but from remembering it just now, I just remember that was the only moment I can think of from that first half, really.
Stu, come in here. What was the comparison again with the Kiefer Moore flick? What was one that came to mind for you?
Yeah, I was testing how your age with the first Ooh. Goal that came to mind here for me was Gianfranco Zola against Norwich. I think that was at Carrow Road. That must have been early noughties, something like that. That was the sort of near post. Let it go through your legs in the air and then sort of flick it with your instep. It looks fancy at the time, but watching it back,
okay,
he needs to probably just hook his foot around that and take on a bit more of the simpler finish. Maybe he was guilty of trying to be a bit too fancy. He'd done the hard work of losing his marker. It was great play from Wes Burns. Nice 1-2 up the line with Harry Clark. Did brilliantly to pull the ball back. But maybe guilty of being a little bit too fancy there, Kiefer. But, I mean, that was really Ipswich's only chance in that first half, wasn't it? They couldn't really create a great deal, could they, Alex? I couldn't remember too many other chances.
No, I'm going to get the stats up here. I can break it down to first and second half. In that first half, Ipswich had 4 shots. If you remember, near the end of the first half, Luke Wolfenden blasted one out, almost went out for a throw-in.
That was dreadful.
It was... Look, you know what? You've got to say, fair play for giving it a go. That was quite an interesting one. Kiefer Moore had a header saved quite early on in the game. Other than that, he had the one that just blasted over the flick. Connor Chapman had a shot blocked and Luke Wolfenden blasted one out from that must have been about 25-30 yards, which did kind of sum up the half in a way, because there wasn't that many chances that were going Town's way, and when they did get onto the end of it, it was just a bit of frustration, and it was a little bit different to some of the other halves that we'd seen, because they'd obviously created a little bit more and shown a little bit more in games against Plymouth, for example, but also Cardiff probably were pretty unfortunate not to take a lead into half-time when you look at what they were doing, especially early on in that half. But also, Carlin Grant down the left was causing all sorts of problems. He rushed past Sam Morsey a couple of times to kind of each side of the half. He had an early one where he just raced past Sam Morsey, which you don't really expect when coming up against someone who's just so incredibly consistent. I've got to say, and I said it in the ratings, he had a really good second half, but his first half, he was miles off the pace. Sam Morsey,
he was lucky.
He went in with a very strong foul on Siopis, which really should have been his 13th booking of the season, which would have really put him on a slightly difficult kind of tightrope going into the last 9 games, even if it is still 2 until that 3-match ban. Dodging that wasn't
even a free kick, was it? Given for that,
no,
one?
It wasn't a free kick. He got away with it totally, which I think we said at the time that was really bizarre. And then we looked at the replays and we were like, often it can come across a bit like, oh, well, actually he's got a bit of the ball, or, you know, the midfielder's made a meal of it, but it was a blatant free kick for sure. And I think it was a blatant yellow card, to be perfectly honest. So he got away with one, kind of got away with the performance a little bit, because there were 2 times where Grant breezed past one and quite early on in the half where Luke Wolfenden makes a block to carry it out. And the other one, I think, kind of just brushes past the side netting, where I think he needs to get a little bit tighter to his man. So definitely more warning signs, and Cardiff unfortunate not to be ahead going into halftime. But as Stu said, you're also in a position where you think Town go in level 0-0. They're going to get all the screens up, do all the analysis. They're going to figure out where the pockets of space are that might be a little bit harder to do during that injury, water break, whatever you want to call it, tactical break, should we say, and then they'll just be able to kick on from there.
And then second half boys come in, and do you think the clash of heads between Kiefer Moore and the other guy, Gutas. Is he Greek? Am I making it up? He's Greek. Okay.
Yeah, he's Greek.
Do you think that maybe stopped maybe the minute on the game a little bit? Obviously it did, because we had a lot of long stoppage, but from that early exchanges, was there really much going on?
Well, I mean, the game didn't have a huge amount of momentum to disrupt in the first place. The first half had been pretty stop-start scrappy, hadn't it? And so that was a kind of continuation of that. And obviously, it ultimately proved decisive, because those minutes got added on at the end of the game, didn't they? I think it was a good, certainly more than 4 minutes. I think a good 5 minutes delay while Kiefer Moore got patched up. seen some photographs of that. It's a quite a nasty cut just above his eyebrow. Came off sort of as a bit of an innocuous one, wasn't it? I think a sort of a flick backwards header of Gutas just sort of catches him above the eye, and he gets bandaged up, Terry Butcher style. And you know, to be fair to him, he carried on battling on Kiefer. It was a day where we wondered what sort of reception he would get back at his former club, a club where he was adored before, and over a sort of an 18-month spell where he scored 25 goals for a team that just finished just outside the playoffs. But Cardiff tried to get him back in January and they pushed really hard. We know that from what Errol Bullitt had said. He'd got players on the phone to Kiefer trying to persuade him to come back. And he opted for Ipswich. And so we weren't sure sort of how he would be received back at the Cardiff City Stadium. But as soon as his name was read out on the team sheet beforehand, quite a significant number of boos, you know, in those first few early touches of the ball that he had. So yeah, it was a difficult game for Kiefer. He couldn't quite make it sort of stick in the final third. But he just kept battling away. And even after he had that clash of heads and the cut on his eye, he was still going in for the aerial duels. Every time he'd sort of win a flick on, you could see him sort of, you know, rubbing his head. So it was a day for him to sort of keep plugging away, really.
And of course, he did silence the boos, and we'll get on to shortly. But AJ, I'm just quickly looking back at the game, looking at some stats. I think it was the 73rd minute. Sam Morsey had a shot from 25 yards, and that was the only second shot of that half. So that it wasn't a pretty game. Obviously, we had lots of late drama later on, so Sky probably were going, okay, in the end, it was not bad picking it, because it was a random game for them to pick in the first place, Cardiff Fitcher's Town. But that second half was as cagey as the first.
Yeah, I turned to Stu about midway through the second half and I said, I don't know if Sky might be regretting putting this one on. Obviously, we're also getting to the point of the season where they have to start matching quotas for showing teams. Sky have to show teams, I believe, at least four times a season, which is why you're now getting a few slightly strange games coming up. I think Rotherham, Plymouth on a Friday night, things like that. So I assume that always plays a part. And if it's a chance to get one of the four promotion battling teams on, then they'll take that opportunity. That's not the last we're going to be seeing of Ipswich Town on Sky, even of the selections that already made. There's going to be more to come. I'm very sure about that. I think that this stoppage was probably the key moment in normal time, probably taking out the goal. You'd probably have to say that would be the key moment. But other than that, it was the big one, just because the first 10 minutes of the second half, I think, followed a similar pattern to the first half. The stoppage goes down and you're thinking, it's going to be difficult to try and get that momentum back as well, because it had been such a stop-start half. And this one looked quite a significant one where... I don't know if you guys had the same thing, but when they had the clash of heads, Gutas went down very quickly and Moore kind of seemed to look around and then go, oh, and then fell down. I was thinking, oh, he's making a bit of a meal out of this. And it's then when I got Ross's photo through where it looked like it was a bit of claret. And I was saying to Stu, I might be able to put that in the report. You zoomed in on his eyebrow and there's quite a bit of significant damage there. It was not a nice one. But that probably did change things in a way, in terms of there was only a few minutes until the subs came on as well. I think that they were coming on, what was it, around the 64. So we ended up seeing Sarmiento and, somewhat surprisingly, Connor Chaplin coming off and Broadhead and Mari Hutchinson coming on. Took maybe a little bit of time for them to work their way in, but the bit that started to change things was when they could get Amari Hutchinson on the ball. 75th minute, he cut inside from the right, curled a pretty good shot at goal and forced Horvath to punch it out of play for a throw-in, which Cardiff just managed to clear. But you could just see they were starting to tire a little bit, I thought. The space was opening up and didn't take long for things to change when they took the lead, I believe, 79.
Yeah, 79. And that's when I felt like the fans, the Town fans especially, of course, the away fans, they were like really encouraged in the Town, obviously, that chance from Hutchinson, as you mentioned. And Stu, Kiefer Moore silencing the Boo Boys of Cardiff City with a fantastic finish.
Was a fantastic finish. Yeah, just going rolling back to the substitutions. First of all, Jeremy Sarmiento, I think this is another example of him being a better finisher of games than starter of games on the body of evidence that we've seen so far. Direct, skillful, off the cuff. It's a joy to watch when it works. From the start of games, for me, we've seen a few times now, a bit too positionally ill-disciplined. He was, we know that sort of left-sided attacker plays very narrow in this system, but he was very narrow in that first half. And then he'd go sort of wandering off to the right wing at times to try and get the ball. And I don't think that does Leif Davis too many favours at times. He's not got someone to kind of to work with and off. So it wasn't a surprise for me to see him come off as one of those two that Alex mentioned. Connor Chaplin, yeah, it was a surprise. You know, it's not often you see Connor Chaplin come off, but I think that was more to do with the fact that they've sensed that Wes Burns is got a bit of form at the moment. And, you know, I mentioned that moment in the first half where he darted to the byline and pulled it back. And he was quite central to what Ipswich were trying to do. They got him right on the final shoulder and were repeatedly trying to get him in. So, yeah, I think they wanted fresh legs on, but they wanted to see if they could get a little bit more out of Burns first. Yeah, eventually 76 minutes, Harness and Taylor do come on for Burns and Luongo. And it was all kind of going to recent script, wasn't it? Ipswich kind of staying a scrappy away game, had rolled up their sleeves, had come through some difficult moments. The subs had come on. They were starting to, without sort of batter Cardiff, there was just a sense that they were just slightly dialing up the pressure. And then the goal comes with a fantastic finish. Two of the substitutes involved Jack Taylor with a lovely pass, sort of straight pass through the middle of the pitch that took out a couple of Cardiff players. Marcus Harness, so good at sort of playing on the turn, finds Moore down the left side of the box. And I think Alex said to me it was almost nonchalant the way he sort of drifted towards goal. He didn't sort of drive towards goal, but he just, yeah, took it forward a couple of steps in the box and then bang, left foot. Right across the goalkeeper into the inside of the far side netting. Fantastic finish. And yeah, we were thinking it was going to be another really professional away day display from Ipswich Town, 1-0 up with 79 minutes on the clock.
Yeah, and I'm going to add an extra question here. And I think this is always a debate when a former player scores against their former club. Kiefer Moore, of course, coming back to Cardiff, I had a good spell there, was close to potentially rejoining them until, of course, he signed for us and he's done really well. 5 goals in 9 games, which is pretty good return so far. But boys, yeah, the question is, your thoughts on former players scoring against their former, no, not celebrating against their former side. Stu, AJ, take away.
I think it's circumstantial, to be perfectly honest, because you see it sometimes and it might be a player who returns to the former club where they've spent 4 months on loan, made a handful of appearances, and you're thinking, come on, do you kind of owe them that much in terms of those things? When you look at the Kiefer Moore situation, I mean, this was really the spell that made it for him, wasn't it, in terms of he'd come up and gone back down and come back up again. This was his kind of breakout spell in the Championship, and it's what earned him the move to a club that would end up going to the Premier League and turn him into a Premier League player. So I can understand having that level of respect, having the level of respect for fans that absolutely adored him, that were probably quite hurt by the way that he left as well. So all those elements come into play with situations like that. I totally understand. There are others maybe where you wouldn't say the same, but at the end of the day, celebrate how you want, I guess, within reason. But definitely, I think that's probably the big difference I would make in terms of how important have you been? What was the relationship with the fans? How important was that spell for your career in terms of what the club did for you? And in Moore's case, it ticks all of those boxes, and you can absolutely see why he didn't celebrate, even though he was getting quite a few pelters. And to be fair, when he came off, yeah, there were boos, but at least the supporters, quite a few of the supporters in front of where we were sat, were kind of giving him a round of applause for as well, putting in a really strong battling performance, had taken a nasty knock, been patched up, battled on, scored the goal. A lot to like, and I think that you can understand why he did it. And in the kind of moment of the football match, yeah, absolutely, you get those back and forward chants and boos and all those things, but there's always a level of mutual respect that comes with that as well. And I think you saw that from both sides at different points, from Moore's side and from the Cardiff fans.
You got more to add, Stu? I think it, once again, it does depend on maybe their spell at the club. There's been a few, of course, former Town players who have scored against us, and there's been a mixed bag. I think Jordan Rhodes is the big one, who obviously was a young player here, played a few games and got left, and of course went on to had the careers, went on. But I remember him scoring against us, and he really celebrated, and fans went, oh, horrible. But yeah.
Yeah, it's, as Alex says, it's all down to circumstance. And I think with players like the Jordan Rhodes example you use, maybe that's a bit of, they've used that as a bit of motivation, a point to prove, fire in the belly to kind of prove that you, they were wrong to let you go at that time. Someone like George Hurst, I think, has used that as motivation going into to games against Blackburn and Leicester to sort of show that they, you know, should have got more game time at clubs or shouldn't have been let go at that stage in their career. I think Connor Chaplin feels the same way about Barnsley as well. But very different in Kiefer Moore's situation for the reasons that sort of Alex has outlined. And I thought that was quite classy for him. You know, important goal, an important time of the game, having sort of, without over-egging the boos, it was probably a sort of fairly mixed, wasn't it? I'm sure there's some there that, and also you've got to bear in mind that he's, you know, he's a Welsh international as well. You know, he'll be playing in that stadium with a Welsh shirt on before long as well. So maybe sort of mindful that he wants to keep relations with the Welsh fans pretty good as well going forward. So yeah, no problem with that at all. That was a sort of respectful hands by the side, sort of, you know, not go over the top, but then also made sure he enjoyed his moment with those Ipswich fans in that corner, blew them a little kiss. And yeah, which takes us into the latter stages of the game. And obviously, Kiefer doesn't finish the game, which is quite a significant talking point.
It is indeed. Yeah, at that point, I'm sure you guys are already sort of typing up things, go, yep, another job done, another good way game to put on the memorable tick, you know, Town fans, you know, enjoying themselves. But yeah, the sub. Should we talk about that? Because, yeah, Kiefer Moore gets replaced from Ali Halhamady. And some people were saying maybe wrong sub. Of course, hindsight is a wonderful thing. Obviously, we didn't have that. We do have that now. But obviously, at that time, we're like thinking, yeah, come on in. Let's try to get another goal, maybe. But maybe Axel Tuanzebe could have been a better option, definitely for set pieces, because that was a key one, boys. Yeah, thoughts on that?
The headlines wrote themselves in the last 10 minutes of that football match. You had it all lined up. Kiefer Moore returns to Cardiff, scores the winning goal as Town win 7 on the spin. It was set up so perfectly, wasn't it? Thinking of different ways to go through and phrase that. And yeah, in terms of the sub, difficult, isn't it? Just on two different sides, I think, which means I'm not going to come up with the strongest conclusion. But on the one side, Town's game management has been excellent. And I feel that maybe chucking on an extra defender, yeah, in terms of the physicality that you maybe lose, I didn't really feel like it was going to be something that Town necessarily needed to do to go and see out the game in a professional manner, just because they've done it so many times with so many different players on the pitch. So I totally understand why that change was made, and also the opportunity to go try and maybe score a breakaway and get a few more minutes into Ali Halhamady, who again, yet to start, has had most of his minutes off the bench. You look at maybe Tuanzebe, who could have come on, for example, absolutely fair enough, has played a lot of minutes recently, and I understand why Halhamady was brought in instead of him. On the flip side, when you go into stoppage time, knowing the threats that Cardiff have in terms of their physicality, in terms of their centre-backs, in terms of the crosses that they get into the box, in terms of their record from set pieces, better than their open play goals now, I think it might be. Need to have a look at that, but it's at least in very similar numbers. The players that Town had on the pitch probably didn't really suit kind of having to grind out that professional 1-0 win. When you look at the players who are on at the end, Nathan Broadhead was maybe the one that stands out. He's very rarely on the pitch at the end of a football match, never mind going into stoppage time, and his defensive work probably isn't as strong. You've then got others like Amari Hutchinson, who does offer a little bit more in that sense, but again, an attacking player. Jack Taylor, very different to, say, Lewis Travis, if they knew that the situation was that they'd be going 1-0 up into the last 10, would Jack Taylor have come on when he did? I mean, Jack Taylor came on just before Kiefer Moore scored the goal. So had that have maybe gone in a different way, had they known that was going to happen, hindsight's a wonderful thing. You then bring Lewis Travis on, have another defensive body who brings a lot of physicality. So, yeah, we can all look back here and say, well, they should have done this. They should have brought on Travis. They should have brought on Twanzebe or someone like that. But in the moment, I think all of the changes made sense, and it was just going into stoppage time. When you looked at the players trying to defend the 1-0 lead, it probably wasn't the ideal situation to be in.
And yeah, Stu, 8 minutes at a time. And there was a warning sign before they did equalise. And there was like a heart in mouth moment, weren't it, where you thought, oh no, it's going to happen, isn't it? And obviously it did happen. But yeah, I'm sure you were typing away, you know, hoping Town can hold on this. I think Vaz got booked for time wasting as well. There's other moments as well. But yeah, that moment where they literally, it did equalise. It was like, they're going to do it, aren't they? Of course, set pieces, Cardiff City, we've mentioned before, best in the division. And the two goals were conceded. Where's set pieces?
Yeah, I turned to Alex. I can't remember quite what stage of the game it was, sort of midway through the second half, and I said, they're going to win this. And you sort of looked at me, and I said it with utter confidence. I just felt with Broadhead and Hutchinson on the pitch that maybe it's just the belief that we've seen it so many times before. I just had confidence that even though Ipswich had been far from their best, they had enough kind of star quality on that pitch to win the game. And yeah, those first four substitutions all happened at 0-0. How many times? That was just standard procedure, wasn't it? You freshen up the top end of your pitch and Ipswich go on and use that, you know, those fresh legs in attack to win a football match. So you can't argue with those first four changes at all. But what it did mean is once they then got in front, it gave Kieran McKenna less options to kind of manage the game. The first big question is should Kiefer Moore have come off in the 88th minute? At first look, I wondered whether it was a bit of a give him his moment against his former club after everything we've discussed against Kiefer Moore, let him have a slow wander off the pitch, take the acclaim of the away end. And if that was the case, then it obviously backfired. Post-match, Kieran McKenna insisted that he was just at the point of pure exhaustion. And looking back at sort of the close-ups of him just in the seconds before he left the pitch, he was blowing big time and he had that cut to the head. And you've got to remember that Kiefer Moore didn't play a huge amount of football in the first half of the season at Bournemouth. I think this is his eighth straight start since he arrived at Ipswich and hit the ground running. And maybe, like probably several players on that pitch, that had just caught up with him a little bit. So I don't think we can kind of say that we should have just left Kiefer Moore on. Maybe Ipswich don't concede the goals they do with Kiefer Moore on the pitch and back in the box and defending set pieces. I don't know. But we have to take that at face value that he had nothing left to give. The tank was empty. The next question is, should it be Ali Alhamady who replaces him? Well, you know, there was a moment seconds after Ali came on where he charged down what looked like a bit of a lost cause into the corner and kept it alive and harnessed one a throw-in. And you're thinking, that's why he's on the pitch, because you press from the front and attack is the best form of defence and you stop things at source and you stop Cardiff sort of getting out from the back. And so it wasn't necessarily an offensive substitution. If you'd have gone with, say, Axel and it had backfired, then you're leaving yourself open to, well, you know, you're just inviting pressure if you bring on a defender for a striker and things had not worked out, then equally that could have been thrown at Kieran McKenna. So I didn't really have a problem with a like for like, and Ali is a bustling, high-pressing centre-forward, and the theory was correct there to sort of enable Ipswich to kind of keep themselves at the top end of the pitch. But it didn't work out like that. And as you say, there were warning signs leading up to the equaliser. Twice Cardiff got crosses into the box. First time it got the ball got cleared on 90 plus two.
The second time on 90+3, I think it was Colwell, who was one of their subs, got the ball, sort of a dangerous low ball, and it got stabbed over by Al Dowda at the far post. And it just felt like it was building that way. And by that point, Ipswich players looked like they were dead on their feet a little bit. And it's not surprising, really, when you know you've had a long trip to Swansea only a few weeks ago, a long trip to Plymouth just a week earlier. All of the kind of physical and emotional energy that was expended in games, midweek games against Rotherham and Bristol only in midweek. This was maybe just a bridge too far. You know, Leif Davis is probably an example of that. The distances that man puts in from left back, up and down every week. I think there was just a few. We mentioned Sam Morsy in the first half. I think he was just not at his physical peak in this game. And then throw into the mix, as Alex said, and as Kieran McKenna said afterwards, not the personnel necessarily that you'd want on the pitch to try and see out an away game against Cardiff, who are so good at what they do. Nathan Broadhead is the one in particular. I watched that 10 minutes of stoppage time back this morning, and he's a bit sort of drifty. He's just drifting in the breeze a little bit, Nathan Broadhead. He doesn't quite know where to be. He's used to kind of finding pockets of space in the final third, but Leif Davis really needed someone to kind of be back there and helping him out and backing him up, and Nathan Broadhead wasn't quite that. So yeah, the pressure grew. It felt like it was coming, and then the equaliser did come on 90+5.
Yeah, AJ, Ryan Whittle, the man to score that equaliser, just slamming it home. I think Burgess wasn't able to clear, and 1-1.
Yeah, I think this one comes with Cardiff sub in terms of Al Dowda. I think it was his headed knockdown. This was one where I was trying to think back to the chances of our post-match video on Saturday, and I think I just got totally in a muddle looking back at it, trying to think what was what, because they were just bombarding Town's goalmouth area, and it was a hard one to see out. Wouldn't necessarily say it was one where you saw it coming, not for anything of what Cardiff were doing, but just because of how good Town have been in those situations. But it's a cross, I think, that comes from Colwell, knocked down and stabbed in by Whittle. And yeah, you can look at the defending. Potentially a lot of the players get drawn to the ball that opens up the space in the box. I think Burgess is one of them that comes out. Wolfenden's kind of in that area. And then Whittle stabs it in to make it 1-1. But it's exactly the threat that you knew that Cardiff were going to pose in terms of the physicality in the box, being there to have knockdowns, being there to stand up against fairly strong, tall defenders. And yeah, the crosses into the box are always going to be dangerous. It also comes from the right. We've spoken about the kind of the Leif Davis and Nathan Broadhead side of the pitch. Obviously, two players that like to be more attacking. You've also then got Jack Taylor, who I think kind of gets beaten a little bit too easily for me in this one. They're just all quite attacking players. They all get drawn a little bit. Definitely in Davis's case, you can imagine he must be absolutely dead on his feet after all that running. And all of that just made it a fairly, yeah, harsh to say, maybe an easy goal, but one that is exactly the kind of thing that Cardiff would have been practicing all week coming into the game.
You can pick out sort of little micro mistakes that all add up to the goal, and I guess that's the case with every goal that's scored in a football match by and large. Yes, the cross should probably get stopped a bit more. Does Davis need to get out quicker? Probably. Does Taylor get blocked off a little bit and not read the run? Maybe. Is it on Hutchinson to sort of get goal side of Dowda, or at least try and make a headed challenge? Or is that on Harry Clark to take responsibility, and at least, you know, it's a free-headed knockdown, isn't it, from Al Dowda, so should do a little bit better there. And then kind of Burgess and Wolford and almost kind of get in each other's way trying to clear the ball, and it's even then I think it still takes a little bit of a nick off Sam Morsy, the shot on the way through to goal. So it's a scruffy goal, one that Ipswich will look at and think, could we have done some things differently? But I think ultimately that was just mental and physical fatigue that was starting to show at that point. And Cardiff are good at that. That's what they specialise at. They're good at it. That if Ipswich have got some weaknesses, it is kind of dealing with those high balls and a bit of a bombardment, as we've seen this, you know, where points have been dropped this season has been against the likes of Rotherham's and Huddersfield's away. And yeah, that was 1-1, and we were thinking, okay, points not the end of the world at Cardiff. If you can't win it, maybe a draw is probably a fair reflection. It keeps the unbeaten run going. It kept my hot take of 10 unbeaten alive as well, which is now gone. But yeah, I think by that point, I think heads were probably all over the show, and it was, you know, there was still a fair whack of time to go. 8 minutes on the board had gone up, so we knew there was still a reasonable amount of time. Suddenly, the home fans, who'd been very quiet all day in a fairly sparsely populated stadium, woke up, came alive, roaring their team on, and we knew it was going to be a nail-biting finish.
It'd be funny if there's some Cardiff fans who actually left because, you know, just want to beat the rush, beat the traffic, and they left and they missed that 10 minutes of drama, which, that's why...
There were. We definitely... And you have it in every single game.
Yeah, of course.
Fans will do it. I was at West Ham yesterday, and we have a guy who sits next to us who always tends to leave quite early if it's going badly. I think he left at 2-1. Which was before one of the offside goals, and West Ham ended up equalising in stoppage time. And you just think, oh, mate, that's got a sting. And you can definitely see that there were a few Cardiff fans that had made that decision at 1-0 to go as well.
And so 1-1, as we said, happy point, take that, away from home, happy days. But then no, I've just watched while you guys were chatting. I am listening, but I just wanted to quickly watch it back. And bloody hell, this is dreadful, by the way. This is poor defending from Town. I have to say, I'm sorry to put them. I know that I'm sure they watched the bank on, buddy. That wasn't great, but just watching it back, it's just mental what's going on. There's so many bodies in the box, balls everywhere. I swear someone does like an overhead kick. Am I right? I swear someone does an overhead kick in this.
Yeah, it's Jeju who kind of just hooks it back in. First discussion point is whether it's a foul on Leif Davis leading up to the corner. I'm not convinced that Kieran McKenna thinks it is. Leif obviously thinks it is. I think that was a bit of a tired moment from Leif, understandably. So it's one of those you maybe get, but I think that was more sort of out of hope than anything when he sort of went to the ground under a bit of pressure. But you could argue that a bit of misfortune's gone their way from that. And then it's a good in-swinging corner. Cameron Burgess, who is normally so good at attacking balls and getting his head on the end of it, sort of races out to try and do that, but doesn't really make contact. And then, as you mentioned, it's after that, it's just, you know, could end up anywhere. And I think Jeju's surrounded by...
Actually, Stu, sorry to interrupt, I've just watched it back again. He completely misses it, and it's Perry NG who gets it.
Yeah. Okay, so just hooked it over his shoulder to the back post, and then it's a nice finish from Al Dowder. He sort of reacts well outside of the boot. Has to raise his leg quite high just to turn the ball in. But again, then do you want Harry Clark doing a little bit more? He's kind of caught in no man's land. He neither kind of stays on the post to defend the goal, and he doesn't rush out to his man either, and ends up kind of halfway house. 90 plus 10, and Ipswich have lost the game. Having looked like they were on course for all three, they end up with nada, zilch.
Yeah, and shades of Cholton, Stu. Obviously, we both were there that game. Obviously, that's a very different game in terms of, we drew that game, but obviously we were 4-2 up. Happy days, you know, what a memorable away day at Cholton. And then obviously Cholton then scored two late goals to, of course, get a point this time around. Town lose it. What's the balance of those two games? Obviously, one was League One and we drew. This one, Championship, unbelievable run, and we lose.
Yeah, Alex asked me that afterwards. I think he'd seen a bit of debate on social media about how this kind of compares emotionally to that day. Weirdly, this one didn't sting as much for me, and it should do because of, you know, what's at stake and where Ipswich are at and where there are, you know, how many games are left to go. That Charlton one, because it had all happened in stoppage time, because Ipswich had scored twice themselves in stoppage time and managed to throw it away. that hurt. I still think the one that hurt the most was Oxford away when, you know, when Kieran first came in and it looked like they might make a late run to the playoffs, and that was the day really that it felt like the top six was out of reach, wasn't it, when they scored that late goal again from a corner. But I mean, we have to acknowledge, and there's a lot of people saying it's not good enough, you know, our game management isn't good enough, we always do this in the heat of the moment. They haven't done this very often. I mean, that there was definitely a debate around Ipswich not being very good at sort of managing games in the latter stages around the time of that Charlton game. How long ago was that now? Best part of a year and a half ago. Yeah. And they did learn from that, and they have improved at that. And this season, as a newly promoted club in the Championship, how many times have we sort of lauded them for doing so well to dig in and to manage games at the end? You go right back to Sunderland on the opening day where they conceded a late goal and could, you know, were very much under the cosh, but managed to see that one out. Bristol City 1-0 up from what, the 16th minute through that Nathan Broadhead goal, and really had to dig in at the end there. More recently, Swansea, a bit of an aerial bombardment, and managed to see that game out. So I don't think this kind of points to any kind of theme that's developing. It was just, I just think it was, this phrase gets thrown about a bit willy-nilly, but one of those days where it just, I just think, yeah, the tank was empty. It was one game too far against a team that are very good at doing that. Yeah, it is 50-50 in terms of their goals from set pieces this season for Cardiff. Cardiff have got a bit of confidence going into this one as well, had won a few games to keep their playoff hopes alive. Just got to suck it up and hope that, you know, they learn from it, as they have done from the very rare setbacks that have come along the way under Kieran McKenna. I think they always take something from it, and you hope that if they find themselves in a similar position again in these next few weeks, that you know, they'll be able to call upon this and kind of work out how to maybe deal with it a little bit better.
And well, as you mentioned, let's hear from Kieran McKenna on that such defeat, and yeah, just a freak result. Let's hear from K-Dog.
We did really well, I think, in the second half to, you know, take control of the game, get the goal, put ourselves in a commanding position on 90 minutes. If the game finishes there, I think we'd be, you know, talking about a really strong away performance. But it doesn't end there, and the last 10 minutes we weren't able to do what we needed to do in terms of defending our box, in terms of seeing off the crosses and the deliveries that they were always going to put in our box. So it means that we're on the wrong end of a really, you know, disappointing finish to the game. But we've had it plenty of times the other way this season. Over the course of, you know, a season, you're certainly very likely going to have to taste both sides of it. We've had to taste both sides of it this week, and today it went against us, and that's disappointing. But we'll learn from it. We'll learn from that feeling as well as the good feelings that we've had so many times, and we'll be stronger for it.
And AJ, I was thinking of you. I think everyone was thinking of you. Obviously, you're the man to do the match report. And that was a massive rewrite, I'm sure.
I'm sure that the thousands of Town fans, when that goal went in, their first thoughts were, oh, I feel so sorry for Alex, who's got to do that rewrite. Nothing else about that. Yeah, there were two rewrites in this one. Obviously, one for the equaliser and one for the goal that won it for Cardiff. Luckily for the half 12 games, we're not really running to the same uber tight deadlines as we were with the Bristol City fiasco. I guess it kind of has that double low blow when you are in a situation where it stings, the defeat hurts, and also you've got to then think of, at the same time, trying to compose yourself, get things together and write things. That's kind of the good thing about having time to reflect as well. When you look back on the match now, when you look back on the table and the league and things like that, one defeat, 1-6 on the bounce coming into one defeat. They've picked up 78 points that we'll touch on this all in a minute. The teams around Town as well, just to quickly mention it, Leicester, I've never been convinced, and I still don't think that they're doing that well at the moment. They've got a horrible run in. You look at teams like Leeds picking up relentless wins, but you can see that the tank is starting to empty a little bit there, and Daniel Farke's not a big man on rotation, and Southampton have had that real dip in form and still don't look convincing. So, look, this is going to fluctuate as well. Things are going to go up and down. You're going to have highs and lows. I don't think this will be the last game where Town drop points, and I don't think that Leicester, Leeds and Southampton are going to finish kind of faultless going into the end of the season, which means that, look, we spoke about the Plymouth game, for example, where all the teams around Town, or at least in terms of Leicester and Leeds, both dropping points, it felt like Ipswich's day. And this was the opposite, wasn't it, looking back at it, where the other teams have now managed to kind of take advantage. And you're just going to see that time and time again before the end of the season, even with 9 games to go. In the moment, it will sting, but just having that time to reflect on the game, how it went, everything that's gone on around it is always really beneficial, I think.
And still, there's always chat about stoppage time. We'll see people going 10 minutes, but once again, it's a minimum of stoppage time given. Obviously, there's 8 originally. And then we had, obviously, the goals, celebrations and all that sort of stuff. That adds on a bit more. And obviously, they did score on the 10th minute of that stoppage time. So, yeah, it's can't blame that because, yeah, it stops in play.
Yeah, I don't think that's something that needs to be overanalyzed here. I think Kieran McKenna's point in general that there needs to be a bit more consistency with the amount of stoppage time we saw after the World Cup, that looked like that was going to kind of be the norm now, that referees were going to add on a lot more stoppage time to kind of, I think they'd looked at the ball in play time in football matches was getting quite low in certain circumstances. And that was so exciting at the World Cup, wasn't it? We were getting plus 10, plus 15s or whatever regularly, and that seemed to sort of bleed into domestic football a little bit more. And maybe that's now kind of rolled back a little bit. And so that's the Kieran's point, is that there needs to be some consistency to it. But yeah, 8 minutes wasn't excessive given that injury to Kiefer Moore, given the number of substitutions. I think, was it rule of thumb, is like 30 seconds for each substitution, 30 seconds for a goal restart. We'd had one of those as well. So I don't think 8 in the first place was excessive. And then there's a goal in stoppage time. There's Vaz getting booked. I think that was in stoppage time as well. Yeah, so for the goal to come, what, 90 seconds beyond the minimum 8, I don't think we can be sort of blaming the referee or dwelling on that too much. It's one that I think Ipswich just need to kind of maybe look at without going overboard about, you know, they're not great goals to watch back, but circumstances, you know, there's reasons for that. I don't think they hadn't sort of been under the cosh for like that. They dealt with it most of the game. Once they got past that difficult first 5 minutes, they sort of kept Cardiff reasonably at arm's length, really, in this one. So I don't think they were defensively all over the show in this game. So they'll look at it. They'll say, how can we deal with this a little bit better this time? But it's, you know, also I think it's one that they'll try. They won't overanalyze either. They'll just accept it for what it is. And hopefully take out some of these frustrations and disappointment on the next opponents, which will be a home game against Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah, indeed. Let's hear, though, from the captain, Sam Morsey, on the defeat and see what he's had to say about it. He's got a key word he likes to say, and bonus points for the words you know.
Yeah, of course, to take the lead as well. We worked hard to take the lead. And then, unfortunately, we couldn't hold it. We conceded 2 goals, which will be disappointed by our standard. But yeah, that's football. We've won plenty of games late, and it can happen if you're not completely dialed in, which I don't think we was in the last bit. Obviously lots going on in the game, you know, but I felt we could have done a little bit better for both goals. But we'll improve from it, we'll review it, and we'll come back stronger. I mean, it's just moments, really. They didn't really have any sort of chances. It was just two moments that we had to deal with better, the details, but we'll look back at it, we'll improve, and every time we've had a knock, we've always come back stronger. But you have to go to the last whistle, and these moments in games, they're on a good run of form themselves. No one's going to roll over for us, so yeah, it's not a nice feeling at all, but it'll motivate us to come back better and stronger.
We will do indeed, Sam. Come back and stronger. Come back and be stronger, obviously. Boys, any other business from the game then? Obviously, this is the only fifth defeat of the season in the league in 27 games, which for a newly promoted team is incredible. So, yeah, any other things you want to mention from the game?
Come back stronger is three words, not one.
Oh, I don't know. You know.
Close enough.
I think it's yeah. That's the hashtag.
Yeah, it was the hashtag I put in our chat this morning with the Stews. Hashtag we go again. So that's the main thing, isn't it? Is that we know this is a team that will bust themselves down and do it. And it does maybe feel a little bit like, it's a cliche, isn't it? When a team loses and they'll say, well, we'll work hard to come back better and we'll improve going into the next game. The thing with Ipswich is you know that they're going to do it. You absolutely know. So it doesn't really feel like what it can be in football, which is empty words when you hear it from Sam Morsey and when you see what Ipswich are going to do on the, or know what Ipswich are going to do on the training ground and see what they're going to do in the next game. You always know that there is going to be that level of improvement and learning from mistakes as they have done all season. So I don't think it's anything to get too concerned about. As we've touched upon, it stings, it hurts. It's a horrible way to lose a football game, as many of Ipswich's opponents will know from recent weeks and recent months. But there's still quite a few games to go. Yeah, we're in the running now, I'd say. I assume you guys would agree we probably get to call this the running. If not now, definitely. After the upcoming international break, you would have to call the run-in for sure. But we're approaching in and around that time, but there's still so many points left to play for. You know, all three teams around the playoff, or not the playoff picture, but around the automatic promotion picture, if they had strong finishes, could all finish around the 100 points mark. That'd be ridiculous. They're not going to do that. And it just shows that there's going to be slip-ups. We've seen that from all four teams now. Fluctuations, and it's just important not to kind of get too bogged down by one result, even if it does hurt as much as it did.
He's on mute.
You're on mute. Oh, I'm muted myself when I said it.
I was doing so well, ladies and gentlemen. What an absolute amateur. As I was saying, Stu, though, the team now have got a week without a game, which is good. Time to regroup. We've got another clip from Morsey, but any other business you want to mention from the Cardiff game?
Well, yeah, as you say, a blank midweek, which I think is valuable. And the good news is now, you know, beyond the Easter weekend, which is always busy, the Friday, Monday games there, then there's only one more midweek game after that, and that's at home against Watford on April 10th. And the rest of them are all Saturday fixtures. So they've hopefully sort of ridden out sort of the very busiest stages of the season. They've seen off some really long trips in terms of mileage now, and they're still in great shape. We talked about the type of opponent that is their Achilles heel, that kind of in-your-face, direct, physical outfit. I look at the fixtures left. There's not too many more of those. Sheffield Wednesday, we'll talk about them a bit more probably later in the week. They've really picked up under their new manager. I thought they looked good in the first half against Leeds on Friday night. So that won't be easy. But Blackburn, I don't know how much they've changed under new management, but they were certainly a very open football team earlier in the season. Southampton, we know they're going to want to engage in a game of football. Likewise, Norwich, Middlesbrough under Carrick, you know, want to play football as well. Coventry, Hull, likewise. So, yeah, hopefully the fixture list in terms of the scheduling is kinder. In terms of the opponents are more suited to Ipswich. Shame they couldn't take a point from that game. But, you know, if the trade-off was, if somebody had offered you, look, we'll swap you the late winners against Rotherham and Bristol City at home and the great joy that you got from those, the trade-off is you have to take one on the nose at Cardiff, then fair enough. You know, it's the way they play, and it's brought more joy than pain. And you just have to kind of accept this one. And yeah, just look at that league table and just keep reminding yourself what a remarkable season this has been. 78 points on the board with so many still to play for. They're right in this, and we'll, as we've said for so long, just got to keep enjoying it. The table will turn out how it is. And I'm not even going to mention the prospect of what could happen in the playoffs, looking at this league table at the moment, because thoughts become things, and I don't want that to happen.
No, let's not talk about that just yet. But yeah, we go again. On to the next one and all that sort of stuff. And let's hear from Sam Orsi on that such thing.
Incredible support again. They support us so well. You can see at the end, we've conceded two late goals, losing, but still so positive, still so with us. And it's extra motivation, to be honest. You know, you look in your away stand and you see how behind the players they are and how behind the club they are. And yeah, rest assured, we'll keep working as a club just to keep improving, see where we get to. Yeah, you dust yourself down, like I said, lots of games, we've had lots of wins, we've had a really successful period, and we'll look at it, how can we improve, how can we get better individually, collectively, and we'll come back stronger. Yeah, we've had a lot of good times, we've had a lot of good wins away from home, we've had a lot of late wins, and this is a late loss, it's part of football, you know, they're a good team. And it's going to be about how we respond. That's a challenge. Whenever you get a little kick in the teeth, you go again, you improve, you come back stronger. We'll do that. Take the time in the training ground to improve, to iron out things. And yeah, we'll be stronger because of it, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I didn't actually segue properly there, ladies and gentlemen. You also was talking about the fans there, that extra motivation, and obviously the 3,500 town fans in that away. And so salute to all of you. And shout out to somebody, as always, got to give a shout out. I didn't actually catch his name on the train, but on the train down to Portsmouth, covering the Ipswich Town women's team, and there was a listener, and he just sort of said, enjoy the pod and stuff like that. So if you are listening to this pod right now, nice chatting with you, my friend, and that very packed train. But yeah, town fans in numbers as always in Cardiff.
New chant as well. I enjoyed the new Waka Waka chant that was.
I don't know. I wasn't a fan of it, to be honest.
I had that stuck in my head. Maybe because I heard sort of a carriage full of fans chanting it for a significant portion of the journey home. But the payoff line of Morsi and McKenna's men, we're going up again.
Okay.
I enjoyed that.
Maybe hearing it from you, I don't know, maybe at the time, maybe the one moment I heard it in the ground, I was like, that didn't work well, but maybe it needs to be sung a bigger, you know, away end. I know it was a big away end anyway, but maybe at Portland Road. But I don't know. It, one of those things with me chants, they grow on me in time. Mm. Sometimes, you know, you hear it first and go, I don't know if that works, lads. But eventually it grows on you, and of course it gets stuck in your head and you sing it and sing it. Like, I always got Suit with Kieran McKenna in my bloody head. Don't know what, it's just one of those, and it's catchy. But no, keep it up, town fans. But yeah, boys, we've gone over an hour of the pod to give that post-mortem of Cardiff. Hope you enjoyed, ladies and gentlemen. Any other business you guys want to mention? Obviously, that was actually my fourth trip to Wales this season, boys. And I thought I was going to get four wins in a row. But unfortunately, this game was the first defeat. And also the Ipswich Town women's team lost against Portsmouth. So I had a weekend of defeats. But we move on. And obviously, Ipswich Town Women's Team have got a big game coming up in a few weeks at Portland Road. So tickets are on sale. So another plug there. If you want to go and watch Ipswich Town Women's Team, maybe for the first time, go to Portland Road and watch them play Chatham Town the 23rd of March. But yeah, they lost 4-2 against Portsmouth. We won't get into that because that was disappointing. But yeah, boys, to wrap up the show, any other business you want to mention?
We talked about mitigating factors here, and I'm not sure the club didn't want to make a huge deal of this, but we've had, I think there was a bit of illness through the camp last week as well. Massimo Luongo missed a game recently with a bit of a bug. From what I gather, I think that did sort of go around the players a little bit. The press conference that was originally due for Thursday last week got pushed to Friday morning because Kieran wasn't feeling very well, and that's not something that they've made a big song and dance about because they don't want it probably to be seen as excuses. But, you know, that is fact. And that, you know, so we're talking about these players coming through a busy period. Lot of travel. I think that probably all played into it as well.
It's been raining a lot as well. It's been wet.
Yeah. Played on some heavy pitches. All of those sort of things are sort of went into it. So I'm not going to be too down on them for this game.
Yeah, just trying to enjoy it, trying to keep looking at the positives as well. Nice little week to recover now, and then back at Portman Road where, you know, it'll be packed again. And, you know, as Sam Morsi touched upon there, he knows that this fan base is fully behind them when things are going, you know, if we're down or if we're up, as the chant goes. So, yeah, bring on another game at the weekend.
Indeed. Oh, do I say it? I'm not going to say it because I know there'll be some people shouting at me. I was going to say the cliche about, you know, not many games to go and the C F1.
Nine cup finals.
Yeah, that's the one. That is the one. Stu said it, not me. But yeah, none of those to go. Obviously, first up, Sheffield Wednesday. I'm sure we're back for another podcast to preview that and any other business and stuff. But AJ, anything else you want to mention, my friend?
Yeah, I've done this one once already this season. I think this weekend's a good time to quickly touch on it in terms of having perspective on football, a real sucker punch over the weekend. But one of the things that I saw yesterday was Reading Football Club, who we've kind of, you probably know everything that's going on there. The latest in the saga is that the owner has going to be putting up the state-of-the-art almost training complex up for sale to try and fund the club in the short term. Looks a bit like asset stripping. Looks a little bit more like asset stripping, to be fair, than a bit. And there's so many difficult things going on at that football club, and they're not the only ones. They're the ones that make the news. And I think that it's always good to have a little bit of perspective that there are other teams who are going through very, very, very tough times. And I think that they're one of them that will stand out the most. So I want to say, really hope that one gets sorted soon, albeit it looks very bleak and you have perspective on the title racing, things like that. But also it's important to have perspective on where Ipswich Town are as a club at the moment. I think that's really important just to have that feeling that the club are in the right hands.
Yeah, they're in very good hands indeed. And the position in the table is looking still very good, ladies and gentlemen. So yeah, continue to enjoy this ride. 9 games to go. Bring it on. Thanks for joining us. AJ, Stu, thank you for joining me and bringing the listeners some good insight in the breakdown on that defeat against Cardiff. But yeah, hope everyone has a good week. Big shout out to our sponsors as always. Manscaped, use a code KOA, get 20% off and free delivery for all your stuff. You know where to go with that. And also, I want to do this as well. Get some merch. I actually saw a Kings Anglia hat in the away end on Saturday. So big shout out to whoever that was. But yeah, if you want to get some merch, hat, jumper, t-shirt, mouse mat. I think we've got mouse mats. If you don't have mouse mats, maybe we should get some.
People use mouse mats anymore.
Actually true. I don't have it. I just use the touchpad thing here, whatever it's called. But yeah.
We're not selling these very well, are we?
Buy one anyway.
Yeah. And also mugs and stuff like that.
So, mouse bats need to come back stronger, just like Ipswich Town. That's
the title of this. Come back stronger, maybe. But yeah, thanks for listening. Of course, check us out on Kings Anglia, all the socials, and also we've got a new promotion, boys. £4 for 4 months for all our great stuff for the rest of the season. So sign up, subscribe for all the exclusive content, and if you're listening, but you want to see our faces, we've got faces radio, haven't we? Really, but you can check out and see our video of this version, all the other exclusive stuff, and all those AJ's player ratings as well, and all that sort of great stuff, and Stu's observations after the game. But yeah, thanks again for listening to another Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast. I'll be back next time for another episode, installment, whatever you want to call it. Bye for now.